I won't take much time this morning. Just about noon, I have, I think, stored up a lot of goodwill sitting down prior to noon many times in the past, but I pray that the Lord will bless me just with a couple of thoughts. I had some other thoughts, theme on my mind, but as Brother David was speaking, I kept being brought back to one thing specific, but some thoughts. I preached yesterday out of Psalm 13, and I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts out of here. I don't want to re-preach that, especially those that were there yesterday to hear me preach. But in Psalm 13, it's a prayer. It's David talking to God here, and also this morning, Brother Eric had asked me a question about this, and also something that I think Brother Sonny first, the phrase that he used, the first couple of verses in this Psalm 13 are five questions that David asked God. And as Brother Sonny put it, and then I did as well, so they're, we call them hard questions. Now, certainly, there are no difficult questions for God. Hard question, by hard questions, I mean it's really direct. I don't know what the hardest question I've put to God in a prayer was, but I'd be kind of fearful of that. But David asked him some direct questions, and I thought, as Brother David was speaking in that 28th chapter of Isaiah, how far Israel had gone from God in those very detailed descriptions of where they were and what they were doing. Now, David here felt like that God was far from him. How long are you going to be gone? Forever? Will thou forget me? How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? So he asked that question. Now, in the second verse is what came to mind in that 28th chapter of Isaiah, really that the end of that 15th verse. We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That this chapter ends up, 29th verse, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. David finally says here, and in this question, it's sort of a confession as well. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? He's taking counsel. The way I look at this, or at least one aspect, is that he's taking counsel. He's looking at his own plans, his own advice, when he's encompassed with sorrow and with so many other things. He's worried for his physical life, that they're going to kill him. He mentions that in here as well, that his enemies would prevail and kill him. He's taking counsel in his own soul, having sorrow in his heart daily. Here, and so he's praying to God. Asking him, how long is this going to continue? Now, God could look at that and say, well, I'll let you, apparently you need a little longer in that state and to learn. And Brother David mentioned that happens from time to time, that we're left to our own faults and sinfulness until we realize and brought to that. I do like that, and I like in many places where he dropped in this 16th verse there in chapter 28 of Isaiah in there. But so David says these things, but within this, and you started out with talking about trust, trust in God. And King David had not lost that. Certainly he had. If he's praying and talking to God, he still believes that. Now, in our praying to God and all the distractions and in our sorrows and distractions and being surrounded by our enemies, we have a great adversary, an extreme one, if you will, not great in that he is, that we're in reverence to him. Satan is our great adversary, so many times we bring some of these things on ourselves, and then it takes this. And so I would exhort you, I would be a failure as a pastor if I didn't tell you and exhort you to pray to God like this. I tell you what, if I'm thinking I'm angered, I am full of sorrow, whatever the emotion may be, I'm full of anxiety, the anxious, and y'all, Sister Marie and Brother David, lately have, I'm sure, have been full of anxiety with the job situations and housing and moving and selling and buying and all that. And I know that they've been prayerful about that. We've prayed for them. But if we're praying and we're having these thoughts, and it's like, how long is this going to take place? God sees into our heart already. We might as well ask him these things because he knows. He knows. And it's almost like a confession. God, I would ask you this, and yet I'm fearful not only in reverence, but fearful of what I deserve. If you all had the opportunity to rise up and preach the gospel each Sunday or Saturday, Friday, whenever days it is, then I'm fearful, not because of standing in front of people, because I know you are praying, charitable people, desiring the Word of God, and not because I feel like that God is just waiting for my enemies to prevail against me, and that and those that trouble me rejoice when I move. But I'm fearful because I know what I deserve, and I have to throw myself on the mercy of God in that. But preaching is different from just talking. In that God blesses us, the minister and the congregation, in that preaching, and that it's not just a routine that we go through. It's not just words. It's touched by God. I tell you what, if a preacher gets up and God does not take that message that he's studied on, and that he's committed to memory. And I have trouble remembering things. One of my prayers is to God in relation to my ministry and preaching is that he would bless me in my studies, provide me messages, and then bless me to remember those studies. Amen. And that I might preach on that. But he must, even if I think I've got this laid out, I understand it, I feel like he's blessed me in my meditation, in my studies, and all, he's still that when the moment I rise up here, he's got to touch that if you're going to get anything out of it. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. I think of Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross, and I think of his last sermon was when he told that thief there on the cross, that criminal, today thou will be with me in paradise. That's what that man needed to hear, was that he'd be with him in paradise. He had to have a peace and a calm. That criminal had to have that peace and calm come over him when Jesus Christ preached that to him. He told him that. And then in whatever gospel it is, a couple of verses down is when he cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and gave up the ghost. He shouted out in victory and gave up his life. His moment, his hour had come, and yet prior to that, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Look at the mercy in that. He's about to sacrifice himself for these people that have crucified him, nailed him to the cross, and those that yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Nail Jesus to the cross. You crucify him, but forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then this one of his elect, given him by God, he preaches to him then and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's exactly what he needed to hear. But David in this prayer, he asked these direct questions. Short, it's only six verses, but he ends up here in the fifth verse, speaking of trust. "But I have trusted in thy mercy." I have to trust in his mercy. When we pray to him, some of you will never get up and preach the gospel. And so that trust that we have when we get up and speak, that he will bless our words, that you'll be edified and be comforted, because that's what the gospel is all about, to exhort you to continue. Because it is not to save you eternally, but to encourage you to go on. But I have trusted in thy mercy. We have to trust in his mercy. And sometimes he just leaves us there, as he did those Israelites, the Hebrew people, in their wallowing in their sin until they realize. But yeah, and then we have that 16th verse in there. And then it gets even better. I have to go on and read the rest of that 28th chapter of Isaiah. Because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So David's saying exactly what I've said many times. He says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing under the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He knew that, and so he knew he would again. Bountiful, unending, infinite mercy. And I don't know how long he would suffer me, his long suffering, in something that I am wallowing in my life. It seems like I've felt that long suffering come to an end. But still being one of his children, then he's bountiful in mercy. And if you think, I'm just not in the right frame of mind to pray to God. Maybe David wasn't either, King David. Maybe he was, but I tell you what, by the end of that prayer, he was whipped back into shape, if you will, by God, because God loved him, and he prayed that lighten mine eyes in the third verse, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's not just some figurative thing. No, they were after him to kill him. He was praying for his life, just like Hezekiah did, that his life would be extended. He saw that his life was coming to an end because of that illness that he had, and he prayed to God. And then we should, as we're praying, it's like, well, I'm angry with this person. I'm not acting right. Maybe I've said something to offend someone. Maybe I'm mad at someone for offending me. Maybe I'm angry with God because he has allowed something to happen then. You just go ahead and pray, and then pray that God, before the end, before you say in Jesus' name, amen, that he'll bless you to rise above that and come back to the trust that Brother David was speaking of, and trust him, and feel that comfort again that criminal hanging there on the cross felt. Because I tell you what, Jesus Christ spoke those words today, "But thou shalt be with me in paradise." Also to tell us that at the moment of our natural death, we'll be in heaven. We'll be there with him. There is no time in between, purgatory, whatever it is, that anything else has to be done. Our bodies go to sleep. It goes back. That's what they call it, as Stephen. It goes to the dust. It dies. But immediately, quicker than immediately, we are in heaven. Our soul and spirit is there in perfection because of the bountiful mercy of God. May God bless and keep you.